Hebrews 11, verse 1. Oh, I'm excited to share this message. It was burning in me as I was writing it, so I know this is good stuff here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Just one verse I want to start off with. It's a verse that you're not too familiar with, probably, but here we go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I remember when I was in high school, I was played high school football, and I messed up my back a little bit, right? And so my parents had me go to a chiropractor. And I remember one time my back was really hurting, so I went to the chiropractor, and I went there, and there was the owner, the head honcho, but he had a new hire under him. And the owner put the new hire assigned to me. And so I remember going to him like two times, and all of a sudden the pain started getting worse in my back. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, something ain't right here. I mean, it's worse. It's worse. And so my dad says, all right, let's go. Let's go over to the office. And we talked to the head honcho, and we said, you know, my back is not feeling any better, and I've been here twice. In fact, the pain's getting worse. And he said, come in here. He took an x-ray, and me and my dad are sitting in the room, and the owner opens the door, and I go, did you find out what's wrong? He didn't say a word. He goes, lay down. Lay down. So I laid down, and I could feel him feeling around on the area of where it hurt. Like this, the pain went away. He found it on the x-ray. And as that story, as I was in the shower this morning, that story of what happened to me, the Holy Spirit said, tell that story. Because he said, I'm taking x-rays of the heart and soul of your people, of my people. And he said, there's some things that are out of whack. And so I'm going to have them lay down on the table today. Teach them this word. It's going to help them. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk about the importance of our responsibility in connection to faith and receiving the promises of God. Specifically, I want to talk about faith that receives the blessings through the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Some of you are saying, wait a minute. Didn't you just talk about this a few messages ago? But here's what happened. The Holy Spirit gave me some different wording about the topic of faith. So I think this might be a piece of the puzzle. In fact, I know it is. It's a piece of the puzzle, right? It's that piece of the spine, spiritual spine, that's out of place that needs to be corrected. So I'm coming from this topic from a different angle. Are you following what I'm saying? We're climbing up the mountain and looking at it from a different perspective. And so this might be the perspective where it starts to click in your heart. Like, whoa, okay. Are you following me? So let's do this. There's three types of faith. There's the faith, meaning Christian beliefs, right? Everything contained in the Word of God, the faith. Number two, there's personal faith, your personal faith. And number three, there's the operation of the gift of faith, when the Holy Spirit gives you faith for something. There's three kinds of faith. Today I'm talking about personal faith. Say personal faith. The top, now this is a 10-pager. Just sit back, relax. If you have a pen and paper, take some notes or listen to it later and do it, because this is filled with awesome revelation from the Holy Spirit. The topic of faith is so important that it can mean the difference between life and death. Amen? It can mean the difference between life and death. You can never hear a message about faith too often. You can never have too much faith. You can never overdose on faith. Amen? And we need to keep our faith strong. Amen? Everything rides on faith for the Christian. Everything. We walk by faith and not by sight. Everything is by faith, right? The title of this message is simply this, according to your faith. Say that with me, according to your faith. I really felt led by the Holy Spirit to go down this road to help fill in, like I said, those missing puzzle pieces for people that maybe are struggling to understand the dynamics of faith, all right? Faith receives something. Faith receives. Say that with me. Faith receives. Do you want to know why it feels so good to hear a message about faith? Do you want to know why we feel so uplifted when we just preach and teach on the topic of faith? It's because we were created, we were wired by our Creator to have faith. So whenever you're in that perfect will of God and doing what you were created to do, it's going to release joy. It's going to release a peace on the inside of us. Amen. When we have faith, the Holy Spirit said this, ready? When we have faith, we are being imitators of God as dear children, as Ephesians talks about. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter, some of you are like, okay, what can he tell us that we haven't heard before on faith? Stick around, let's just see, right? In Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, real quick. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, plural, of laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So faith toward God, faith, is one of the elementary or basic principles of Christ. This is basic level stuff. In other words, what God is saying is this. If you don't know what faith is, if you haven't laid a foundation of what biblical faith is, everything else you try to build on, it's going to be shaky. Right. Oh, it's getting mighty quiet in here. Whoa, that bounced back at me. Faith is so important to God that Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, if our Heavenly Father puts that much importance on the topic, on a topic of faith, on this topic or any topic, that it affects, listen to me, did you hear what I said? That it affects God's attitude and emotions toward us. We need to pay attention. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So us having faith or lacking faith, it affects God's attitude, come on, and emotions. Right? What you, I mean, you're either pleased or you're not. They're two opposites, right? How many of you want to please God? I know that you do. Amen? You would never want to displease God on purpose, right? All right? So that's why God is so merciful. He gives the fivefold ministry to help disciple and build up the body of Christ so we can walk in everything that He has for us. Amen? So we need to master the topic of faith in the Christian life. We must abide in a mindset of faith. It's a topic that's central to our salvation and our relationship with our Heavenly Father, right? If faith pleases our Heavenly Father, I'm going to put a lot of time and effort into studying that thing out. Are you following me? If it really pleases Him, that's a topic we really need to camp out on. You can never hear enough. I'm going to put a lot of time, I'm going to put a lot of effort in studying it out, seeking Him for more revelation and understanding on that topic. When's the last time in your prayer time you said, Lord, give me more revelation of what faith is? Try it and watch what starts to pop on the inside of you, revelation-wise. It's amazing. Here's what He also said. You ready for this? Don't waste your time with topics that don't matter. The Word of God refers to those kind of topics that don't really matter. Ready? As being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, oh, here's another doctrine that's blowing in. Oh, here's another one. There it is. Oh, God's angry at us if you call Jesus Jesus and not Yeshua. There's another wind of doctrine. Oh, here's another one. The earth is flat. Oh, here's another. Are you following me? Don't waste your time on that junk. Don't get caught up and blown around by meaningless topics that have no impact on your Christian life on this earth. Here's what you got to do. Stick with, ready? Here's wisdom. Stick with and really put effort and time, ready, into the basics, the foundational topics. And here's what the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. He said, if you will really take time to master the basics. Then the Holy Spirit will give you revelation to build on top of that foundation. And then that, ready? He said this. Are you ready? It's a safety net from deception. The basics. Say basics. Say, I got to go back to basic training. Listen, the kingdom of God wants to distract us. They want us to waste our time so that we don't have a strong and firm foundation of faith from the Word of God. Don't fall into that spiritual trap of the enemy. It's a trap. Say distraction. We need to build our life and faith on the rock, on the solid ground of the Word of God, not on everything else is just shifting sand, right? If there's no Word on it, it's shifting sand. If you got Word on it, stick with it. It's solid rock, amen? So here we go. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. We're off to a great start. Off and running. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 10. And it says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sakes before our God. Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that, here it is, exceedingly that we may see your face, right here, underline it, and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Perfect what is lacking in your faith. According to verse 10, it's possible to have faith, ready? That's not perfected. It's possible to have faith that's not perfected. It's possible to have faith that is lacking or not mature, okay? So what is that faith lacking, right? If it's lacking something, I don't know about you, but I want to know what that thing is so we can correct it, right? That thing that your faith is lacking is knowledge. Knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of the principles of faith from the Word of God perspective, all right? Specifically, a knowledge of the Word, ready? That brings understanding. Say understanding. Remember that scripture in Proverbs that says, get wisdom, get understanding. In other words, put effort into it. Seek it. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. All right, Jesus said in John 8:32, that you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the known truth that brings understanding to your heart about a topic or a promise in the Word of God. Faith begins, I'm saying some things I did in the past, but you gotta, you know, build the foundation. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If there's no knowledge, there can be no faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Listen to this now. From 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, the Greek word that's translated perfect means this, to complete thoroughly, to adjust or repair, to perfect that which is lacking in your faith, it said. The word perfect means to complete thoroughly. To finish it, or to adjust, or to repair. So evidently, our belief system, our faith, remember, needs to be tweaked. Yep. It needs to be adjusted sometimes. It needs to be repaired, right? It needs to be adjusted or repaired or fixed. Well, from what? From wrong beliefs that we hold on to. How many of you know there's right and there's wrong thinking, right? Now, the foundation that first needs to be laid in your heart. Now we're really going to dive into this topic of faith. Already, the foundation that first needs to be laid in your heart, in your belief system, is this, is that hope and faith are different. They're not the same. I'm convinced many mistake hope for faith, and that's why they're not receiving. The first foundation in your heart and your belief system is that hope and faith are not the same. They're different. Here's what it is. Are you ready? Here we go. Hope is a confident expectation for some time in the future. Hope is a trust in God for the future about a specific promise. All right? It can be general trust in God, a hope. Oh, I just hope in God in general. Or it can be for a specific promise, such as a physical healing or something like that, or whatever, right? A promise in the Word, all right? Now, hope is great and positive, so we don't want to make fun of hope. Are you following me? Hope is great and positive, but hope doesn't receive anything from God. Hope doesn't receive. How many of you want to receive the blessings of God? I don't know about, I want to receive it. I just don't want to read about it. I just don't want to say, hey, sometime in the future I'm going to get this. How many of you want it now? You need it now. That's what the promises are for. It's not for heaven when you get there. It's for on earth. The benefits are for now. Hope is like an umbrella of trust in God, in your relationship with Him. Hope says this: if I'm ever in the need of something in the future, I trust God and His Word. I trust that God is for me and that God's not against me. Amen? So you could say, here, oh, this is good. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit said this: hope builds the framework for faith. Hope builds the framework for faith to be introduced. Hope builds the framework of faith for faith to be introduced. And then he went on to say this. This is so good. Listen, hope is the seed that has the potential to be converted to faith. Hope, oh, come on, somebody. I'm having a good old time up here. Ooh, I'm about ready to do some gymnastics up here. Yeah, no more chiropractor. After that situation, I'm done with that. So hope is the seed that has the potential, say potential. It has the potential to be converted into faith. All right? So hope is very important. We don't want to spit on hope. We don't want to say, oh, hope's worthless. No, it's not. It creates the framework for faith. All right? Hope is a desire for a specific promise. It is a general trust in God for, like I said, the future that God will provide a specific need. But even desire, say desire, even desire doesn't receive anything from God. Faith does. We're still trying to work our way to get to the faith. That's what receives from God. Amen? But it's still important in the process leading to faith. Listen to this. Hope sows the initial seed or first seed of desire and trust in God for a specific promise. But faith receives the harvest of each specific promise in the Word of God. Here, oh, the Holy Spirit said it like this. Okay, you still having problems understanding it? Listen to this one. Ready? He said, hope lays the train track, but faith is the train that delivers the promise. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Hope is the train track. Oh, come on, somebody. But faith is the train that delivers it from the spirit realm into your natural realm. Yeah. Hope is not a waste of time or effort, because it's an ingredient in a needful first step that has the potential to lead to faith, to a specific promise in the Word of God. Without hope and desire, it's impossible to attain to faith. It's impossible to get to that place of faith without that hope, without that confident trust and expectation for the future. All right, now, the problem is this, like I've been saying. Hope doesn't receive anything because it is focused on the future. And faith believes this: I have it now. Amen. There's future hope, there's faith now. Say future hope, faith now. I'm trying to make this as basic and elementary as I can, all right? Faith believes it receives the specific promise now without any evidence pointing to it in the natural realm or in your physical body. It believes in your thought life, in your heart, that you received it now without seeing it. This is why Christians have such a hard time receiving and having faith, because we're so carnal. We got to see something. We're addicted to this natural realm. Are you following me? But really, we're spiritual beings. And faith is spiritual. Amen? Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. Let's add 2 onto it. Listen to this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained or received a good testimony or a good report. How many of you want a good report? Amen. Come on, amen? If we are truly going to understand faith, we need to know what substance and evidence is in the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, 1. Look at it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. The Greek word, listen to this. This is very interesting. The Greek word translated substance means this: confidence, assurance, conviction. Oh, I like this one. Are you ready for this? Reality. Reality, not just sometime in the future, but it's a now reality. Now, you want to know what it also means? I dug deeper into this. Are you ready for this? It means title deed. Faith is your title deed of each promise that you put faith in God. Say title deed. Miss Register of Deeds of Tuscola County. She knows something about title deeds, right? So you could say this way then. Faith, our faith, gives substance to hope. It just isn't a wish for the future. It gives substance to your hope. I'm going to go deeper and make it clear. That promise is yours now. When you have a faith in a promise, whatever it is, that promise, you truly believe you possess it now in the spirit realm. Now, you possess the title deed of that specific promise right now. So you could say this. Faith is a confidence, an assurance, a conviction on the inside. Confidence, assurance, and conviction, that's all taking place in your spirit, in your heart and soul. Come on. And it's the title deed and a reality that you have that specific blessing right now in the present tense. Not someday in the future, but you literally believe right now that you possess that blessing or benefit of the new covenant. You can see it in your imagination. You can see it on the, you can see yourself. Now tell me this. If you pray for a benefit or a blessing and you truly believe that you receive now, do you think it's going to affect your attitude? Do you think it's going to affect your words? Do you think it's going to affect your actions? Do you think it's going to affect how you live your life? That's a very good indicator if you prayed in faith or not. If you walk away joyful, feeling that confidence, that assurance, I have the title deed on this thing. Now, you're just waiting out for it to be manifested in the natural realm. So faith is spiritual. Why? Because faith is spiritual because it's not moved by what's taking place in the natural realm. Amen? Faith is substance and evidence. Say that with me. On Friday, I was walking around praying, and all of a sudden I was meditating, and I just kept walking around saying, faith is substance and evidence. Faith is, I was just meditating on it and speaking. Faith is substance and evidence. I don't know how many times I said it. So say it with me. Say, faith is substance and evidence. I recommend you do that this week. There's your homework. Amen. That's your homework. Meditate on that. Faith is substance and faith is evidence. Now, the Greek word that's translated evidence, the word evidence means this. Are you ready? Proof. It's proof. So faith is spiritual proof. Come on, listen to this. Faith is spiritual proof of what you do not see or feel or experience in the natural realm at the moment. Faith is spiritual proof. It is the proof of things not seen in the natural realm, but it's seen and received in your spirit man, in your thought life, which includes your imagination. I remember one time ministering to someone at a healing service. this lady had some kind of a disease. And I said, can you see yourself healed? Can you picture yourself without this disease? Can you picture yourself, you know, as an older woman? And she said to me, no, I really can't. I can't picture it. There's a faith problem in there. You've got to be able to see it in your spirit. You got to fill yourself with the word so much that it affects your imagination, your thought life. Amen. You've got to see it. That's what faith is. It must, come on. For hope to be converted to faith, there must be a shift in your heart, in your thought life, from a future tense to a present tense. Are you listening to me? Oh, man, this is so good. For hope to be converted to faith, there must be a shift in your heart, in your thought life, in your imagination, from future tense to present tense for that benefit or blessing. It must shift from a confident expectation for the future to I have it now without seeing or experiencing anything yet in the natural realm. Now, here we go. This is some revelation the Holy Spirit gave to me on this. Say, I'm listening. Here we go. I believe the receiving process between hope and faith. Are you ready for this? I believe the receiving process is in this order. Hope, desire, and faith. Now listen to me. Let me explain. Hope or desire. What's desire? What do I say that desire is all the time? Hope on fire. So there's hope, desire, or hope on fire, and then faith gets activated somehow on the inside of us. This entire process of hope, desire, and faith is all taking place in your heart, in your thought life, which includes your imagination. Now, I believe, what am I getting at? Hope, desire, faith. Hope, future. There's a process of desire somewhere between the two, and then it gets converted into faith where you say, I got it now. Now I got it. Here we go. I believe the catalyst that turns hope into faith from future to now is desire, ready, or spiritual hunger for that specific promise in the Word of God. What? Listen to this. Faith is an act of your will. Did you know that? Now, there is a gift of faith. But you can't necessarily count on that. You've got to have your personal faith built up. Amen? Now listen to this. A very strong or high desire, a spiritual hunger for a specific promise. This is how I've seen it. That desire process that converts hope to faith is the boiling point. Why? Because desire is hope on fire. It's the boiling point that converts hope into faith. The enemy, and here's why, the enemy is always trying to discourage your desire. Why? Because desire is the catalyst that turns it from future to I have it now. Now, am I going too deep for you guys? No. Too bad. We're taking you there. Listen. So the enemy's trying to discourage your desire, to interrupt that hope, desire, and faith process so you won't receive the blessing. He wants you, here's what he wants you to do. Ready? He wants you to give up, roll over from pursuing that promise in the Word. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to discourage you. Now, I want to take a look at some verses and accounts in the Gospels about Jesus doing some healing and miracles that reveals the importance of our responsibility in this matter. Now, remember I told you a while back that some healings, some blessings are received through the gifts of the Spirit, right? Okay? And in those, like the gift of healings, right? Or the gift of miracles is in operation. You don't have to have any faith at all in that. Can you believe that? Someone can have absolutely zero faith, and the gifts are in operation, and they receive. Congratulations! You just hit the spiritual jackpot for doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right? The problem is this. Like I said a minute ago, not every healing, not every blessing comes that way. Why? I don't know. You're going to have to ask God one day. I don't know. But this I do know. So the problem, not every blessing or healing comes that way. So you know, you can't just be faithless and rely on that happening every time in your life. That is why we always need to keep our personal faith strong and built up. Amen? Why? The Holy Ghost said this. He said the gifts aren't always in operation. He said, but you can always receive the promises of God through your personal faith. That's always available, right? God's not up there picking straws and saying, who am I going to heal today? Oh, here's the lucky one. Who's the next one today? Oh, are you following me? The promises are for every Christian. Every Christian. And he said that we can always receive the promises through our personal faith. That's why I'm teaching on personal faith, right? I want you to be built up. So we as Christians, we always say this. We always say, hey, stay prayed up. You ever hear people say that? Hey, you got to stay prayed up. Let's tweak that a little bit and say this. Stay faithed up. Because your prayers don't mean a hill of beans if you're praying in unbelief without faith. So you know what? Don't just stay prayed up. Stay faithed up and then stay prayed up. Because then they will be beneficial. Amen? Oh, that just hit someone in the spirit. You feel that, don't you? Hallelujah. We got to stay faithed up. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them now, presently, and you shall have them. So don't just stay prayed up, stay faithed up, as well as prayed up. So how is your hope level for that thing? I'm asking you a question just to ponder in your heart. How is your hope level for that thing you're asking for? What is your level of desire for that thing you're praying for? Is your desire strong enough or spiritually hot enough? Is it at the boiling point enough to where it convert that hope, that future hope, into a present tense now? Is it hot enough to shift your heart from that future tense to a present tense right now? Go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Just take what I'm saying. I know it's deep stuff, right? It's maybe something new you heard. But take it and really meditate and study. Pray about that this week of what I'm saying. Always check everything I'm saying with the Word of God, right? I believe I'm right, but you got to determine if I'm right. I've been doing the studying. Don't worry. I just don't throw things out to a congregation not studying and praying about it. Amen? Matthew 9:27-31. Look at this. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, underline this, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one says it, but they didn't care. They went. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Boy, when you get a good report, you want to share it, don't you? Amen. Listen to this. See, that brings glory to God. Yes. It really does. Listen to this. Two blind men followed Jesus into a house. So there must have been some point in those blind men's life that they heard about Jesus. Would you agree with that? And when they heard that Jesus was healing people, people were receiving their sight, diseases were leaving, demons coming out of people, that created a hope in their heart. Say hope. It created a hope. And they settled it in their heart, obviously, that if Jesus was going to walk by them, they were going to get his attention. All right? So a very strong desire was starting to stir up in their heart. A strong desire to be healed. Like, oh, wow, this is not just hope. Now this is kind of getting within reach, right? Now, some people think, well, duh, of course they wanted healing, right? Of course they want to be healed, but not so fast. I've met people who had sicknesses and diseases, and they said, I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord. I met some people with sickness and diseases before where they said, I'm just tired, I'm rolling over, instead of fighting. Who am I talking to today? Am I talking to people that want to fight? Or are you rolling over? You got to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Amen? Amen? So finally, Jesus was passing by the two blind men, and they began to follow him. Now get a picture of this scenario. Can you picture it in your imagination? Jesus is just walking along, and these two men are screaming, yelling at him, and following him. And they said to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. They were recognizing Jesus' lordship. Are you following me? They were using covenant language with him. They're calling him Son of David. They were recognizing him as the Christ. You've got to recognize that Jesus is greater than that sickness or disease. You've got to recognize that Jesus is the name above every name for your faith to work. I want you to notice that, this is interesting, I want you to notice that Jesus did not immediately stop when they first started crying out to him, because it says they followed him into a house. How many people would say, man, Jesus was being rude? Right? He just kept walking, going into the house. But I think it was a test of the emergency broadcast system. And the very first thing that Jesus said to them is not, hey, how you guys doing? He didn't say, oh, I feel so bad that you have that blindness. He didn't feed into any negativity. Hello? The first words that Jesus said to them was this, do you believe I'm able to do this? Think about it. Listen to this. Jesus is asking that same question to all of us today, whether it's a promise of any kind. Do you believe I'm able to do this? And they answered him. They said, yes, Lord. Again, they recognized him as Lord, as Messiah, as the Christ. They affirmed, yes, we believe you're greater than this blindness. Yes, Jesus, we believe that you are the answer to this blindness. Think about that. Now, listen to this. If they would have said no, are you ready for this? I believe they would have been blind as bad as they were before Jesus healed them. If they would have said no. And the reason I can confidently say that is because Jesus, when he went into his hometown of Nazareth to minister, it said he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. I'm not making this up. Because there was a lack of faith in the people in his hometown. It does say this. It says a few sick folk were healed. Now, they were either healed because maybe they had faith, or this, because the gift of the Spirit was in operation at best. But we know it was only a few sick folk. Now, so the blind men said, yes, we believe you're able to give us our sight. Jesus then touched their eyes. Jesus didn't even say, be healed. He didn't sit there and pray, Heavenly Father, give them their sight. No, what did he do? He bounced the ball back in their court, and he said, according to your faith, let it be to you. In proportion to the faith you're demonstrating, let it be to you. Their faith must have been important and vital in receiving that miracle, or else Jesus wouldn't have said anything about their personal faith at all in connection to that miracle. Would you agree with that? You think Pastor kind of going off base, or you think I'm staying in line, right in line with the word? Jesus said it, not me. According to your faith. Amen? Jesus gave the two blind men the opportunity. This is what Jesus did. He gave the blind men the opportunity to verbalize or release or express their faith in him. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. It was the faith of the two blind men that put a demand on and drew the anointing that was in and upon Jesus into their physical body. If they didn't have the faith, it would have blocked the anointing and they would have remained blind. So our personal faith in the promises of God creates, what you could say it this way, creates a pipeline for the power of God, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be received into our physical body and into our soul, mind, will, and emotions to be healed. Y'all doing all right out there? Oh, we got plenty of time. All right, sit back, stretch out. Here we go. Now listen to this. Let's dig a little deeper. I'm telling you, this message can save lives if you get a revelation of what I'm talking about. I feel it. I feel it. I'm telling you. Listen, hope caused the two blind men to wait for and seek Jesus. Hope caused the two blind men to follow Jesus into the house. How many of you know they could have, how many people would get offended at the minister and say, oh, he didn't even acknowledge me. He walks into a house, forget it then. Right? They could have been offended, walked away, and been blind as a bat. But they choose to overlook that. But then when they knew they had Jesus' attention and was given the opportunity to release or express their faith, that was when the gate was opened to receive the anointing into their physical body from Jesus. When they knew Jesus was walking by them, all right, they felt on the inside. Ready for this? This is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said they felt on the inside that their miracle was now within reach. It was within reach. And their desire increased. It hit a boiling point. Not just sometime in the future we hope we meet Jesus. Now they're facing him. Now they know they're within striking distance of their miracle. Their desire increased to the boiling point that their hope for the future converted to faith right now. It went from hoping for the future to that burning desire. Oh, hallelujah. Say desire. In their heart to receive their miracle. Faith is a receiver of the blessings of God. Hope doesn't receive. Desire doesn't even. But faith does. Faith turns a provision that's available in the Word of God into a present reality in your life if you hold on to your faith until it manifests. Don't let the devil short-circuit your faith. Now listen to this. So Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. The word according, say according. This is interesting. Are you ready for this? You'll see how all this ties together with what I've been preaching here recently. The word according is defined as this, in conformity with or in agreement with, or I like this, as stated or attested by. It also means in proportion to. So I find it very interesting that the definition is as stated by or spoken by or in conformity or agreement with. Jesus asked them if they had faith, belief, trust. That he was able to do it. And guess what? The blind men's faith had to be released. That's what, when Jesus said, according to your faith, how you're releasing this, what you're saying back to me in agreement, be it unto you. Jesus expected a verbal response. Your spoken confession or spoken words matter. Just like what I talked about last night on Facebook, I said a doctor should never put a time limit on a person's life. You tell me what the diagnosis is, tell me my options for treatment, and keep your mouth shut. Don't word curse me. Don't word curse me. Amen? Remember last week I talked about Mark 11:23, where it talks about speaking to the mountain? And I pointed out that it uses the word believe one time, but it uses the word say three times. And it's interesting, Jesus said, according to, or in other words, the words of agreement that you're speaking back at me, let it be to you. So whatever words coming out of your mouth, let it be unto you. You speak in words of doubt, unbelief, or you speak in words of faith, let it be unto you. Amen. So what we learned is that we need to emphasize the speaking part of faith more than just believing. Because believing has been too watered down. Right? When you hear the word believe, oh, just believe. Oh, okay, well, give me a little more details. How do you believe properly? Right? Oh, have faith, brother. Have faith, sister. Tell me a little bit about faith then. What does that mean even? What does it mean? No wonder people aren't receiving in the kingdom of God. Because they're mixing up hope with faith. Faith, foolishness, and presumption. Dr. Frederick Price, he's gone to be home with the Lord now. He taught at Rhema and stuff and connected with Hagen. He has a book called Faith, Presumption. Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. Foolishness or presumption. I think a lot of Christians operate in that. It's more of a heart level or a head level thing instead of really truly believing in the heart. Are you following me? It's got to drop down into the heart where you actually believe it. I have the title deed on this thing now. So faith must be released or expressed to work. There's an exception to that, which I'm going to cover here in a moment, and you'll see. Faith is released by our spoken words or actions. Notice it's released through our physical body, through your vocal cords or through your actions. Why? For anything that's going to impact the natural realm, it's got to come through what makes you legal to operate in the natural realm, which is what? Your earth suit. That's why words, spoken words, are so powerful. Well, I say it in my head. No, speak it. Release it, express it, amen? If you have faith, it will influence the words that come out of your mouth, and it will influence your attitude in actions. This account of the two blind men also reveals the responsibility in connection to our personal faith, in connection to receiving the things of God, amen? And it shows the importance of not only the one receiving, but listen, even the one ministering. Listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit said. When ministering to someone, he said this, both individuals should be in faith. So, and this is how he said it. Are you ready for this? Write this down if you're taking notes. He said, both people, the receiver, the sender, should be in faith. So both spiritual gates are open, one to receive and one to release. One to release the anointing, one to receive it. For it to make contact, it has to be, both gates have to be open. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, you enjoying this today? I'm going to try to rip through this as much as, amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I love it. Oh, so good. Praise God. Now listen. Mark 5, 25 through 34. Listen to this. This is the woman with the issue of blood, all right? Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Notice, it was released through him. Jesus was always in faith, so Jesus didn't have to tweak anything, right? Had gone out of him. Turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, underline it, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So this woman had this issue for 12 long years. It says she suffered many things from many physicians. We're not picking on doctors, but God is the great physician, right? Always keep him at the center, correct? But she's obviously, this woman suffered many things. Doctors, that's why they call it practicing medicine. They're practicing. Hello? All right? So, you know, they suffered many things from many physicians. Nobody could help this woman in the natural realm. So she heard about Jesus, and guess what it sparked on the inside of her? Nope. Hope. A hope built up in her. See? That's what I'm saying. Many Christians are mistaking hope for faith. You see my point? I'm not chewing you out or anything. I'm just saying it just kind of proves my point, right? So she heard about Jesus, and it sparked a hope on the inside of her. And then the desire increased after that momentum of hope started in her. Remember, hope, desire, boiling desire, and faith to receive. Before this woman pressed through the crowd and touched Jesus, she did something very important that you will miss if you don't break this thing down. Ready? She spoke these words. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She verbally released or expressed her faith, and guess what she did by doing that? She created her own point of contact for her healing. And then she pressed through the crowd. Nothing was going to stop this woman. She was acting on her faith. The words that she spoke, she acted on. She spoke it and acted. Are you following, seeing a nice little definition of faith here? And she touched his garment. She not only verbalized her faith with spoken words, but again, she acted on her faith by literally doing what she said she was going to do, or what would bring the cure or the remedy. So there was a demonstration of her faith in spoken words and her actions, which is her what? Earth suit. She spoke it. Yeah, right. You failed the test a minute ago. Yeah, okay, gotcha. So listen to this. So immediately, it says, the fountain, immediately. So this was really a miracle. She received a miracle because it was immediately. Healing is a process. A miracle is instant. So immediately her fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction. I mean, this is amazing because she didn't even really have to carry on with faith of any time. It was a miracle. Immediately she spoke, she did, she touched. Jesus' gate was open. Her gate was open with faith. She received. Her faith was released. And received that anointing into her physical body. Now, like I said, someone says, well, okay, so it was only her doing it? Not really, because it was Jesus providing the anointing there. Hello? Listen to this. And like I said a minute ago, Jesus always maintained faith. Anybody doubt that in here? Anybody doubt that Jesus lacked faith? Jesus always maintained faith. So this spiritual gate was always open on his end, the releaser. Amen. But she, when she touched him, her gate was open, and it created a pipeline from him into her, and her miracle popped off. If she would have touched Jesus without faith, do you think anything would have happened? Nope. Nope, because Jesus said it was her faith that drew the anointing in for her to receive her miracle. Faith, you could say it this way. Faith, all right, whether it's a healing, a process of time, or a miracle, faith initiates the transfer of the anointing of the Holy Spirit and receives it into your body and soul for healing. Progressive or miracle, instantaneous. Faith opens that spiritual gate. Why? Because it believes it's now. Hope doesn't. Hope, when you just have hope, the gate's still closed. Why? Because it's for the future. Sometime in the future, this gate's going to open. But that level of desire hits a boiling point. That spiritual hunger for that thing. I got to have this blessing. I got to have this healing. I've got to have it. I'm not giving up. And all of a sudden, that desire hits that boiling point. And it turns into faith, and guess what happens? The gate opens, and it's received. But now, if it's a healing, a progression, you got to hold on to that faith until the manifestation comes in the natural realm. Come on, here's what you got to do. Ready? Keep that spiritual gate open. Now, go to Mark 8. Mark 8. Oh, I got lots to say today. Mark 8, verse 32. This is a very serious topic because some of these situations can be life and death. Amen? Mark 8, 32 through 37. It said, he spoke this word openly. Am I in the right? Yeah. Oh, wait a minute here. Mark 8, 32. I just put the wrong page number. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. No, that's not it. What am I looking at here? Hold on. Oh, where is it? Oh, hold on, is it this one? Oh, what a bummer. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Mark 8, 32. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment. Well, interesting. Wow, I can't believe that. Hold on a minute. Anyways, there's an account here. It's one of the accounts here, and I don't want to waste a lot of time on it because I'm losing time. But this was an example of a physical healing that depends on either the minister or the gifts of the Spirit. And my point is this: it's one of these accounts in here. Maybe it's the blind man. Is it going to touch him? Blind man by the hands. But hold on. No, that's anyways. I'll have to get back with you on it. But my point on that was, oh, I don't know what is going on here. This is crazy. But my point is this. I was bringing up an example in the Word, and I'll get back with you. But if someone is not, because now you're thinking, okay, what if someone's not able to talk? What if someone's not able to verbalize? What if they're not able to move? Are they out of luck? No, listen. If someone is not able to verbalize or express or act on their own personal faith, then they are reliant on the faith of someone else or the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation. Are you hearing me? Oh, okay, so you look it up yourself in here. It's one of these accounts in here. I don't want to waste time. Okay, because I still have two more pages. So if someone is not able to speak or move, all right, then it's dependent on another person's faith. Yes, someone can borrow your faith at times and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember the account where the friends let the lame man, they took the roof off and they let him down. And it says this, that Jesus saw not the man's faith, it says he saw their faith. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God's so merciful, isn't he? God makes a way. He makes a way here. Ah, come on. Yeah. It's available to you, right? Now go with me to Mark 6, 53, and hopefully I have the right one on this. No, it's just hope. I know that. So, okay. All right. Mark 6, 53 through 56. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. When they have crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. So here, you got people bringing people who couldn't take care of themselves. Right. People, they're borrowing their faith, right? Come on. Verse 56, look at this. Wherever he entered into the villages, cities, and country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment. Look at this. And as many as touched him were made well. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't say that Jesus touched them. It says as many as touched him. And I want you to notice that as many as touched him were made well. A spiritual connection was made. Again, it's almost like Jesus, he just had that open gate and he would kind of walk through a crowd and let people touch him. Why? Because their faith was an open gate and the connection was made. Now, look at Mark 9 real quick. I'm buzzing right through these. Mark 9, 17. Mark 9, 17. And it said, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit or a demon, a mute demon, a demon that made the kid mute. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. Yes, kids can have demons. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid like an epilepsy. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. So Jesus was mad. His disciples couldn't do it. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Now get a picture of this. This kid falls on the ground, foaming at the mouth like an epileptic, and Jesus calmly turns to the father and says, how long has he been like this? Right. Jesus is so, he's just calm. He knew he had it under control. Amen. And he said, from childhood, and he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. So the kid was obviously suicidal. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit or demon, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and lifted him up and arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And blah, 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 blah. Listen to this. In this account, there was the young boy that had this deaf and dumb spirit, a demon. And it threw him down, blah, blah, blah. We all read that. The responsibility for that child's deliverance was on the disciples. Did you notice that? Not on the father. It was on the disciples, the one ministering. All right? The responsibility of that child's deliverance and healing was on the disciples first, because Jesus was upset with the disciples and called them faithless. In other words, they weren't prepared to deal with this demon, and Jesus was a little bothered. Jesus is saying this. Ready? I taught you better than this, guys. I taught you better than this. The father's responsibility was simply this. Ready? Here's what the father's responsibility was: to simply seek help for his child. And then the responsibility to cast out the demons was on the one ministering to the child. Now, some people, you know, they use that, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You got to understand, that's a double-minded statement. You're not going to receive anything of the Lord with a double-minded statement. So the father saying that didn't hinder the deliverance, because the responsibility was on the minister to cast the demon out, not on the father. The father's only responsibility was to seek help for his child. Are you following me? Yeah. Jesus did try. Now listen to this. Jesus did try to teach the boy's father about faith in that account, because when the guy said that, you know, you can picture Jesus trying to minister to this kid, and the dad's like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus stops and goes, hold on. You gotta believe, pal. All right, I know it doesn't matter in this case, but it's going to help you in the future. Yeah. Thank you. My biggest fan right here. Oh. Yeah, I'm just going to preach to you right now. Let's do this. Okay. Now. Woo, glory. I'm on my last page now. Mark 5:35. Hallelujah. She goes home with me, so she better know she'd be saying some amens. Amen. Mark 5:35, and then we'll finish this thing off here. Hallelujah. And it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. Verse 39, when he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. People are going to ridicule you when you try to walk in faith. They will ridicule you. They're going to say, "Oh, you don't look any different." No, I received. Amen? Yeah. Stay in faith. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he kicked them out of the room. I love it. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. She died before her time, and Jesus raised her from the dead. And, ha-ha, glory. And they were overcome with great amazement. All right, now, so Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." So he's saying, look, don't have double-mindedness. And like I said, Jesus had to kick some people out of the room before raising her from the dead. So obviously there was a reason why Jesus kicked them out. He kicked the ridiculers out, the people that didn't have the faith. So that must mean then that people's unbelief can stifle in a spiritual atmosphere. It can, right? Now, Romans 4, 19, real quick, let me just look at this. Romans 4, just three verses and I'm out. That's it, I'm done. I mean it. I'll let you get on with your life in a moment. Now, real quick, Romans 4, 19 through 22. "And not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced," or persuaded, King James says, "that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham was not weak in faith. He had strong faith in God. When God promised Abraham and Sarah a child in old age, Abraham did not even think about or take into consideration the deadness of Sarah's womb or their body. All right, that's what the word says. Abraham did not waver, say waver, at God's promise through unbelief or doubt. But it says this, here's a key I want you to think about. He was strengthened in faith by doing what? By giving glory to God, by verbalizing his faith. Believe is spoken once in Mark 11, 23, but say is three times. When you verbally praise God and give glory to him, it'll strengthen your faith. Abraham consistently verbalized and expressed his faith in God. Abraham was fully persuaded. The most righteous thing that we can do as Christians, ready, is to have faith in God and in his written word and to express and release our faith with spoken words and actions. And one of the main purposes of that faith, of faith is this. When you are living a life of faith and receiving the benefits of the new covenant by faith, you will advance the kingdom of God by giving glory to God. Your faith causes you to truly partner with the plan of God and the Holy Spirit on this earth to carry out and enforce his will. So church, there it is. There it is. The final thing. You know, when I say church, everyone goes, oh, all of a sudden they start to wake up. Ah, I hear the angels sing, Pastor. My spiritual eyes and ears are open. So, church, it's good to have you back. It's time to press in. It's time to study the Word of God and to seek his face like never before, because our Heavenly Father will move and advance his kingdom in your life. Are you ready? According to your faith. Let's stand up in this place. Oh, I know it was a mouthful. Go back and listen to it and take notes. Meditate on it. Prayer team, come on forward. Maybe there's someone in this place you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Don't leave here without making him Lord of your life. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath. And when you take your last breath and your spirit leaves your body, we want you to go up with the angels, not in the elevator down. Amen? Because it's sealed. It's for eternity. So if you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, come on down to this altar and pray with one of the prayer team members. If this message really hit you, you need a physical healing, you need a blessing, and you today this message tweaked your faith, and it really did something on the inside. You started to get more light and understanding. Come forward and just tell the prayer team members that. Say, this message really spoke to me, you know, pray for me. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism and speak in other tongues like that little 10-year-old boy, hello, come on down. They'll pray with you to receive. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. And you all have a blessed week. I love you all. Amen. Amen. Do you love me too? Yeah. Oh, thank you. Get out of here. All right, love you guys.